Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Cousin Shane, when he saw me, he said, oh, who's this damn T-Bob joining the show over here?
Yeah, our Magnum P.I. over here. Just put your mustache rolling.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, man, this is the best job in the world here, Shane. Just spitballing, talking SEC. And, man, the only thing better, and we'll get to it here in a minute, would be playing for Texas Longhorns, all the money they're dueling out. You know what?
How much money are we talking here, Mike? I mean, I haven't really been paying attention. Oh, I knew it was up there, but I didn't know it was that much.
Oh, it's...
Is it bad?
It's up there. Oh, it's up there. So, again, we'll hit that here in just a second. But I had a little fun show topic, Shane. I don't think we've ever done this before. Try to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
It's hard in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at who was the best last year in a lot of categories like scoring defense, passing, rushing, and who's the worst. And we're going to look at the teams that were the best.
Yeah.
Who we have the least confidence to do that again. So essentially who's regressing, right?
Yes.
And then we're going to look at the teams at the bottom and we're saying, no shot, this team's at the bottom this year. So who's moving up the ladder? How's that sound?
We got movers and shakers is what you're saying. You know, there's nothing idle here in the SEC. It's either you're getting better or you're getting worse. So,
hey, how about Carolina Jackpot? He says, Dave, your guys' shirts are a contrast there.
Oh, man, that is a wild shirt. Is that like, what is on there? Is it just?
We got, it's just a lot of the Marvel stuff.
Oh, it's Marvel. Oh,
yeah, okay. Spider-Man, yeah. Wolverine, Iron Man, Human Torch, Thor.
What was that gum, that Juicy Stripe? That's what I was thinking. There's something along those lines. But I could see now.
Where it had the little comic strips in it?
Yeah. Well, no, you remember the kangaroos in Alabama. I don't know if you saw that that got brought to my attention. I think heading up highway, one of the interstates, there was a kangaroo jumping in Alabama. And I was like, what the hell? Paul must have moved down there or something.
All right. So that's all I got on this. Anything you want to get off your chest, Shane? How was the golf course today? How you find it all this time to get on a golf course? And did you get a birdie today?
Didn't go golfing today, Mike. Took a day off. Kind of regretted it. I had an appointment and decided not to go to it. And so I wish I would have went.
Oh, we did see you were at Cracker Barrel, though.
Decide to go the other place, one of my favorite places, Cracker Barrel, and it was absolutely fantastic as always.
Hold on.
Live from the Cracker Barrel, here's Cousin Shane. From the Cracker Barrel, here's Cousin Shane.
I just had to say it three times. I'm sorry.
Don't forget, Mother's Day's coming up. You know what I'm saying?
And, is that Sunday?
And my mom likes... No, I think it's... Yes. No, next Sunday. I think it's next Sunday. But we decide that's, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff. And actually, I probably shouldn't say it because she's listening. Well, Mom, you know, you're going to get some Cracker Barrel stuff probably. But you can't go wrong with the country store. It's just right. You know what I'm saying? It's like the perfect store to get that gift that maybe you need to get this Mother's Day. So, again, not a sponsor, but deep down inside, my favorite restaurant. You guys know that. And so always give Cracker Barrel a chance.
Cousin Tony says the golf making Shane look lean and mean. Good job, brother.
I'm telling you right now, the real reason I told you this yesterday was to cut some LBs and have some fun. I'm competitive. I like to, you know, I'm not beating the guys right now, but what's nice is I the handicap.
You're not holding them back too bad. You're still holding them back.
Holding them back, you know, especially the drives. Like they'll smash a drive and it takes me like two shots to get up there. And then they wait. They're real nice. They're real patient and stuff like that. But I would like to – I'm trying to get where it's to the point where just playing even, whatever. But down 48 pounds right now as of this morning. So hopefully by the time we get to media days, I'll be a lean, mean fighting machine.
I think I'd have abs if I had lost 48 pounds, Shane.
well, not I mean, when you got that much.
No, I'm saying I would, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you look good, man. You're good weight. I was that weight in what, third grade, you know? So I got a ways to go before I get there. But every day's a new one, you know?
Cousin Tony said he'll carry your bags if you need them.
Oh, no, I got a golf cart for that. I ain't that healthy yet. I think ideally I would like to get one of those pull behind or, you know, you kind of push carts. But right now, brother, I would die probably four holes in. You know what I'm saying? I just lay up on a par three somewhere and just name the tree after me after I'm long gone, you know?
Your cousin Tim calls you a lean, mean, Cracker Barrel eating machine.
Well, I had to mix up the menu a little bit. Couldn't go back to my grandpa's. I had to get something a little bit leaner, but still, they got some good lean options.
Cousin Tanner says, Cousin Shay's all-time left tackle. He's more of a guard.
I like this whole 100, you know, I heard 100 chains versus a gorilla. Could I take him? So apparently that's a trend that's going on right now. I don't think we could. I've seen them up close. They probably whoop all our fat asses, but yeah, I appreciate everybody reaching out and the support. But if you're ever in town, hey, I've had a couple of people send me messages, said, hey, if you're in town, bring your golf clubs. We'll do this thing. I've got a couple lined up in Missouri. So I don't know. Maybe this time next year, I'm just going to go around the circuit playing free golf.
Well, Shane, you sound like a Texas booster. So let's transition to that. Shout out. We never had this guy on the show. Maybe we need to get him here, Shane. Kirk Bowles. He writes for the Houston, let's see, I want to make sure I get it right. Yeah, Houston Chronicle here, Shane. $35 to $40 million
Damn.
For 1 year for Texas Longhorns. And here's a comment he's got in his story here. Pretty interesting. Again, $35 to $40 million. And they're saying, hey, this is unsustainable. Next year, he's talking 2026. The world will be back to reality. We ain't gonna be paying these guys, you know. Again, the salary cap, they're not calling it that, but the salary cap that the SEC and the rest of Power Four football is good, it's like $20.5 million. So Texas may damn near double the budget here.
Jeez.
First of all, do you believe it? And what's your thoughts if that is an accurate number?
Does that include the 25?
That's where they're getting it. So they're saying 20, around 20, whatever the salary cap is, and you're allowed to go over.
Yeah.
But apparently you have to prove that anything over that is valid NIL. This is very confusing. But yeah, so it's 20 plus 20 whatever million is what Texas number is at for next season, allegedly here.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. And here's the thing. I've been saying this the whole time. I understand the pay's big, I think, for a lot of colleges, especially some of the lower tier SEC squads. I think, honestly, it's more – I think it would be better for, like, ACC schools or something like that to kind of get – because they're not getting that first-grade talent anyway. But it's not like Texas just going to say, all right, we're going to use that, and that's it. They're still going to layer on top of it. They're not going to stop spending just because you gave them more money to work with. I think that was the misconception, is that, hey, we're on an even playing field. No, it's just now these other schools can pay these athletes. But when you do that, that inflates everything. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm getting paid $1 million, and now you're paying this guy $2 million. Well, if he's going to, we'll say Ole Miss or Mississippi State's going to say, hey, down there in Texas, they offer Jim $2 million. You didn't want to give me $1 million. So yeah. I don't think this was the answer, but you better damn believe Texas is going to spend some money to win some national, because Ohio State did it. You know what I'm saying? Ohio State came out here, they wrote the checks, and they basically paid for them a national championship. And they'll be able to brag about that for the eternity. You know, Texas wants that. Texas wants it. Every team in the SEC wants that, but definitely Texas. They've ponied up. They're ready to play.
Is it money worth well spent, though, if they don't win a national championship?
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, that's just like anything, though. You know, if you put in a whole bunch, if I went out here and I bought an elliptical, Mike, and I sat it out there in the garage, I spent all this money to get in shape, but I never got on the damn thing. Was it a good investment? Absolutely not. Now, if I got on there and I cut some LBs, it was a good investment. So I feel like the fruit of the labor, you know, one of the things going to the college football playoffs, being a team on prime time, some of these people are making money along the way. So they don't necessarily need to win a national championship. But the fans, the ones that, you know, are donating NIL that maybe don't have a $1 million corporation, those guys, I feel like, aren't going to get their money back, if you know what I mean.
Mm. And great question from Liquid. Can teams without the money still compete? And again, all the SEC teams should have around $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm looking at Vanderbilt. I'm looking at Mississippi State. I'm looking at Arkansas, which I know those schools have money. But let's say they just have $20 million for a roster. Can they even compete in a world where $35, $40 million is being spent on another roster in the conference?
Not yet. Soon. I truly believe that some of these schools are just getting screwed because maybe the talent they identified and they brought in there and they combed and they became all-stars all of a sudden hit the portal and get paid big money at teams like Ohio State and Texas and Oregon and all these other guys. You know what I'm saying? But when we start getting more of a contract situation, I think, yes, they can compete. But as of right now, the way this is set, could it happen? Yes, the stars could line and all of a sudden you've got a roster full of great guys. You know what I'm saying? But odds are, when you're looking at On3 and Rivals, which are now together again, I don't know if you saw that, but if you're looking at these two, they're pretty much spot on telling you what's the best talent in town. And if they're all flooding to one university, odds are they're going to be the one that's winning.
Mm-hmm. And again, they have thrown out, maybe we limit transfers. You know, like you could only take 10 a year. I don't know that that's legal. I don't know that'll ever come to pass. But would you be comfortable with something like that? Or is it, well, if Texas got $50 million to spend, let them spend it. And hell, they can still spend it, but maybe yeah. they can only take 10 transfers a year. Again, I don't know that that's going to come to pass, but would you be in favor of that? So that maybe you can't acquire all the talent and you can't outbid everybody for their star players.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think we're trying to get to, right? Parity. Throughout right. the SEC, so everybody has a shot. I don't think it's like a everybody gets a trophy type situation, but you know, if you've got one team that is spending three times what you're allowed to or that you can spend, you know, that's a competitive edge that these other schools are able to take advantage of. And yeah, if you're the other guy, it's not fair. But if you're the haves, you're like, eh, you know, the system works. Let's let it. Because what's making money, you know, what are we selling more of right now? Mississippi State jerseys or Texas jerseys? So, you know, I think it just depends on who you're asking that question, Mike, but it's a great question. And I think the more we go, the longer we move forward, the more we're going to mimic the NFL. And there's no team in the NFL traditionally that has a better advantage with buying players.
Mm-hmm. And then one last thing I wanted to ask you about that. Again, it was in that Houston Chronicle article. They said next year, 2026, this will all go back to normal. Is that even possible? Because, again, this is very complicated, but why they're saying Texas, you know, 35, 40 million or whatever the hell the number really is. Everybody gets, let's just call it 20 million for the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
But that starts July 1st.
Yeah.
So there is a mad dash right now. It's why Nico, it's why a lot of these guys, and basketball apparently is insane with how much money those guys are getting. You can get paid now between July 1st, and it's totally uncapped. And there you don't have to prove it's legitimate. So there's all these players saying, I got to get mine now. Now, starting July 1st, you got the cap. And if you can go over the cap, but you have to prove that anything over the cap is legitimate name, image, and likeness. Now, is that enforceable? Will that actually happen? I don't know. But That's literally what the NCAA and the SEC and the Big Ten are saying. So if in 2026 there is a hard cap, 20 million or whatever, will players accept that? And because it baffles my mind, Shane, that you can give Texas players 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys are going to be on the roster in 2026. Are you just going to cut their paychecks in half? I mean, I don't think that's very realistic. And that's a direct quote from, the Houston Chronicle there that, they expected to just go right back to a reasonable number in 2026. I think once you hand out $40 million, you got to be giving that out annually, pretty much.
Once you open that box, man, Pandora's box, they say.
Right.
I feel like you may be able to treat it more like a signing bonus, mm-hmm. where you could pay a lump sum up front type situation. But at the end of the day, once you're paid X amount of dollars, the last thing you want is a cut, because then you feel like, not so much, again, not the players, but the people in the camp, because everybody's got to get paid. It's not just the athlete it's the agent that's supporting them. It's family members that are with them. And when the divvying up gets less and less, you start feeling like, okay, they think less of me than they did last year. And I think that's could cause trouble for the SEC in particular, because then you may see more transferring outside of this conference.
Well, you know who's not transferred, Shane?
Who's that?
Horton hears you. He just gifted a donation or a membership, Shane, to Nicholas Moore. Nicholas,
welcome to the family.
It's all the way down here.
Welcome to the family.
I was about to do it.
Appreciate you, Horton.
Thank you, cuz.
He's a Texas fan, so yeah. Spend you $100 million. They're gonna win one eventually, don't you think?
Keep spending it. If I had it, if I mean, we do this, Mike. If you had, we talk about dream job scenarios, like they're all 16 positions come available right now. And let's say you're not a diehard Vol fan or something, where are you going? You're going to go where the money's at. You're going to go where the path to success is easier. And right now, everybody's looking at you, Austin.
And it is probably smart to go all in too with Arch Manning, Sarkisian, a program so hot. I mean, this is the time to do it, don't you think?
This is it. Make hay while the sun shines, son.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into, Shane, who's going up and who's going down in 2025. So again, I'll explain this real quick. Here are the teams, Shane, that led the SEC in scoring last season, right? Mm-hmm. So we had Ole Miss, number one, mm-hmm. over 38 points per game. Tennessee, number two. I didn't realize that, but if they did beat the hell out of some Kent State type teams, yeah. 35.7 points per game. Alabama, number three, 33 points per game. Texas, right there with them at 33 points per game. And Georgia, 31.5 points per game. So those were the best of the best.
Yeah.
In terms of scoring last season, which of those five do we have the least amount of confidence will be in the top five next year? And this is I just thought this would be a little fun way to do it, because there's many factors, right? You could say, well, Tennessee lost quarterback, lost all these guys, but they got an easy schedule. So there's many things to factor in here. So again, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Bama, Texas, or Georgia, which one do you have the least amount of confidence will be top five in scoring in the SEC in 2025?
Right now, I would have to say Ole Miss Rebels.
Aren't you all aboard their bandwagon? Ain't you heard about Austin Simmons making me go to hot yoga?
It's not so much the hot yoga, Mike. What it is for me, it's just there's got you. You just imagine who was on top. Where are they going to go? They're going to go further without their quarterback that they put in the first round, without the receivers we touted as probably one of the best cores in the country, mm-hmm. There's so much flip, and not to mention defense, Mike, getting that ball back, you kind of take it for granted. Now, trust me, Ole Miss will be in the mix. I'm not saying that they're going to come out here and be 20 points a game. There's several you're looking at here. I would never, I would never do Georgia State, but I'm trying to think here. I don't know, man. I mean, what is that? Charlotte, Charleston? What's going on down here?
Citadel.
All right. Those boys are getting 60 on them. You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be games like that where they're going to stay toward the top. But there's a lot of tough defenses. Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, South Carolina. These are defenses that can kind of keep you at Florida even. You know, your Florida Gators. So I think that Ole Miss has success, but I don't think they lead the league in points next year for sure.
Right. Well, you know who does, in my opinion, Shane?
Who's that?
Texas A&M, thanks to the Yaggy. He just gave us $20, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
Giggle, can't figure out how to become an official member, so here's a few months. Beat the hell out of everyone. Appreciate you, Aggie.
If you're on an iPhone, it's in the show notes. It will be after this is posted anyway, and then you can go in there and click on it. But yeah. you can't do it during the live feed for some reason.
Don't blame us. Blame old YouTube.
You those dang Androids, you know. Those green text messages you get.
I think you missed it, though. I think you missed the mark. I think you went with your heart, not your head, Shane. It's got to be Rocky Top, Shane. Top five score. How are they going to do that with the offensive line blown up, new receivers, new running back? Ooh, they just lost SEC Offensive Player of the Year. New quarterback. We don't even know who the damn quarterback's going to be. Is Tennessee going to be top five scoring in the SEC? I don't think so, man.
Yeah, because they're hanging 70 against ETSU. New Mexico State, they're going to be over. It's going to be over at halftime. So,
yeah.
Again,
UAB, Mississippi State, maybe
Kentucky. Yeah.
Okay, maybe you're starting to win me over.
Well, it's not that I just think they're going to blow out everybody they play this year. It's just the ones that they can, they're really going to lay it on thick.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. All right, so same thing before the teams at the bottom, Shane.
Oh, okay.
So Auburn averaged 27 points per game, same as Vanderbilt, which was 13th in the SEC. Mississippi State, only 25 points per game. Oklahoma, 24 points per game. And Kentucky, dead last, 20 points per game last season. Which of those teams?
Who's that last one?
It's Auburn, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Kentucky. They were the bottom five in scoring offense in the SEC last year. Which one of those is we are most confident will not be bottom five next season?
I think you already know the answer to this question. It's your boy, Hugh Freeze. I feel like Auburn Tigers, the offense is going to be popping this year. Schedule has a lot to do with this one too, because I look at Oklahoma and I think they've got a great shot. I think the offense is going to be vastly improved, but let's not ignore that they still have a daunting schedule in front of them. A lot of good defenses. Auburn, on the other hand, have got a lot of open holes there. I feel like this is a year that we take that big step forward, and they're finally get a little bit money back saying, hey, I'm glad we hired this cat. So give me Auburn. Give me Auburn Tigers here.
Shane, you're 0-2. Come on, it's them Sooners. Come on. Yeah, the schedule looks tough now, but just wait till Oklahoma starts whipping all these teams' asses, and all of a sudden, the schedule doesn't look as daunting. You know what? Yeah. If Oklahoma, again, I think their stock is clearly down, and it should be, after their debut in the SEC, so they look like a bottom-tier team based on last year, but this is a new look. Oklahoma, buddy, we got a new offense coordinator, new quarterback, new running back, new receivers. We're getting a receiver every damn day, seems like. And they're touting the offensive line. It's going to be one of the best in the SEC. Now, I'm not sure I'm buying the offensive line just yet. But if it is, buddy, we're going to be gangbusters here, Norman. So give me Oklahoma. They're rising. Get the hell out of here with this Hugh Freeze love. Get out of here with that.
It's not so much Hugh Freeze love. I just love what they do have down there, you know, and watch them be a running team now, you know, now that their best running back is gone, they're like, hey, let's start handing it off more. That would be the Hugh Freeze that we all know.
Cousin Mike says, Hugh Freeze just threw Shane under the bus. All right. How about, so same thing, Shane, but for defense, all right? Okay. So who had the best defenses last year in terms of scoring allowed? Ole Miss, once again, man, Ole Miss was 1-1. Probably should have went to the playoff there, Rebels. Texas was number 2, Tennessee number 3, Alabama 4, and South Carolina. What a defense they had last year. So again, Ole Miss, Texas, Tennessee, Bama, South Carolina. Who are we least confident will be in the top 5 in the coming season?
Man, I'm just picking on these boys, ain't I? I hate to do it, but not really. Ole Miss Rebels. I feel like after I watched that draft,
yeah,
I think they missed the boat. And it wasn't the offense, yes, it always steals the headlines, and I hate that. But Ole Miss just rolled through one of the greatest defenses I've ever seen down there in Oxford, and it was all for naught. It was all for a loss against Florida and Kentucky. So, yeah, for me, give me them Ole Miss Rebels.
Well, they beat the hell out of Duke.
Yeah, they did.
I'm going to go South Carolina, Shane. They were number 5 on the list. Lost 3 NFL linemen, excuse me, 3 starting defensive linemen to the NFL draft last week. All the linebackers are gone. Second round safety. I mean, just a lot of top end talent. Clayton White, I think he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. I didn't know who he was when South Carolina hired him. Looks like, you know, one of the best hires Shane Beamer will ever make in his life. So I could be dead wrong. Again, they got a lot of talent there in Columbia, but I think South Carolina's not going to be top 5 in the SEC. I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but I just don't think they're going to be quite elite, if that makes sense. But I like all the things you said about Ole Miss too. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world.
There's a few teams in that list I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying? I see you in the highlights. Tennessee's right there. Say what you want. That defense was exactly the reason they were in the playoff mix last year, not because of the offense. So, there's a few teams I feel like could definitely drop off.
Now, how about the bottom 5, Shane, in terms of scoring defense last season in the SEC? I didn't realize Florida was that bad. I think they got better at the end of the year. Florida, Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas, and Mississippi State, of course. Mississippi State allowed 10 more points than anybody in the conference. So, again, Florida, Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State. Who are we most confident will rise out of the bottom 5 this year in the SEC?
LSU Tigers. I love the ads. I love the commitment to the coaching staff here. You know, I mean, obviously we lost our D-line guy, but I feel like LSU takes a huge step forward. This is it. This is the last dance for Coach Kelly. I know it sounds crazy. I've said this many, many times. I feel like this is the year that you've got to hit, or we're looking for something else. You know, they do not, and I'm not saying they fire him, but it wouldn't surprise me if Coach Kelly finds another opportunity somewhere. So this is a make or break season for Brian Kelly, and it's going to be, I think, a make because of that defense.
Now you got me thinking, Shane, where's Coach Kelly going to coach again? Let's say he stays in the SEC. Where's a spot that Brian Kelly would, not that he really would probably leave LSU, but if he does,
I really don't see him leaving, but maybe they do like a Nico Cal trade with Ole Miss. That'd be funny. Send him north, and then they take Lane. So I don't know. I really would imagine a West team, North team, you know, if he's out of here. But what do you think? What would you think? Like, if, I mean, obviously there's going to be, man, Florida would be intriguing if it,
that's kind of the one I had circled. Yeah. Cause Florida, I know it doesn't make sense. If you know Florida, you know it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the southernmost tip, but it almost feels like a northern state at times. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have quite country. Well, there's parts of it that's close to the Gulf there is pretty country, but beyond that, I mean, it's a wild land over there. I think Brian Kelly would kind of fit over there better than the old Bayou. You know what?
Well, I mean, he's getting older, and that's what they do usually. They just navigate to Florida, right? And better golfing down there. So
what if Kentucky went all in on football and Brian Kelly went all in on bourbon whiskey?
Man, I mean, the stars would really have to line up here. They may have to give all that $20 million to him. You know?
How about man with the plan? He says Kelly to Oklahoma.
I think they're – so I would say, Mike, 12. I would say 10 to 12 teams would like Kelly, if I were guessing. I mean, would you take Kelly over – let's see. Let's do this real quick. So I wouldn't take him over Kirby. I wouldn't take him over Sark. I wouldn't take him over Heupel because I'm a homer. You may feel different. Is there anybody else? Am I missing that? Maybe. Would you take him? Let me ask you this. Would you rather have DeBoer or Kelly?
DeBoer.
Okay.
And I'm basing that on they played last year. Brian Kelly in year three, DeBoer year one, and DeBoer whooped his ass.
Yeah. I give you that. What about Heupel? I said I wouldn't, but would you take Kelly over Heupel?
That's a tough one. I think I'd take Heupel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're close.
What about Elko? Kelly. Elko or Kelly?
Kelly.
Yeah, I take Kelly.
Just because he's proven more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But, well, that shows you where he's at. So if LSU fires him, well, Lane or Kelly? I mean, that should be an easy one, right?
I like Lane.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's kind of the threshold there. So there would be a lot of SEC teams that would love to have Kelly if LSU moved on, but I don't see him sticking around.
You know who else I love, Shane?
Who's that?
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out, JR. He just gifted a membership to VPC Soap Company. Is that a real name? I don't know. VPC,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of...
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
I like that JR picks like complicated names too. You know, he doesn't like, he could pick an easy one. He's like, no, I'm going tough here.
Okay. Hey, it was 20 minutes ago, Shane, but we were talking about bottom five defenses. I kind of like Florida there, but I think you're right. I think it's LSU for sure. Year two, Blake Baker.
Yeah.
But Florida is a very, very close to my, because they got so much better at the tail end of the season. They gave the boot to the 20-year-old defensive coordinator, whatever the hell, Austin Armstrong. They put in their real defensive coordinator, and they really took off, particularly against LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. So I think Florida could be really good next season on defense, but a little bit more confident in LSU, just like you.
Yeah. I mean, but it's an intriguing group. So let's do those real quick, that bottom five one more time. So it's LSU, Florida,
and Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Mississippi State.
Arkansas or Mississippi State, you got any confidence they're not in the bottom here?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those is most likely to not be dwelling in the bottom at the end of the year?
Arkansas, because I think they got a little bit better talent. And they got a lot of big home games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their road schedule is it's a damn gauntlet, Shane. At Ole Miss, at Memphis, at Tennessee, at LSU, at Texas. Good night. But maybe you can flip it. If you're successful at home, I think they have a shot at being moving up to average. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Ben Dover over here. Says, damn, Cousin Shane, good to see you. Back to real SEC coverage instead of analyzing ass in the draft. So thank you, Ben. I think you're right.
How about this, Shay? So last year's top passing offenses in the conference, just going off total passing, which I don't like to use as a very good stat, but it was just kind of easier to explain this way. Ole Miss was number one, mm-hmm. LSU two, Georgia 3, Texas 4, Arkansas 5. So which of those five are you least likely to repeat as a top five passing offense? Real quick, Ole Miss, LSU, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas. So really, you know, you're looking at who are we most confident in quarterback-wise and obviously receivers. Who are we most confident in, you know?
I'm going to go Georgia here. It's just too many question marks. You know, all these other schools, like even Arkansas, I have a lot of confidence in the quarterback, even though they lost all the receivers. I feel like we're still going to find, and you're going to need them because hell, there may be games that you're just trailing. And I think Georgia may be the opposite. This is a team that I felt relied too much on Carson Beck last year. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for a little bit more balance, and with that balance comes less yards throwing. So, give me Georgia.
Yeah, LSU, Garrett Nussmeier, you know, he's going to carry the team, I would think. Mm-hmm. Even Ole Miss losing a first-round talent in Jackson Dart. We just have so much confidence in Lane Kiffin, and they all love Austin Simmons, remember?
Yeah.
Yoga bit. So, you know, he'll have a good year. I'm not guaranteed they'll be top five in passing in the conference, but I would be kind of stunned if they were any lower than like six or seven. So
yeah,
Ole Miss going to be right there. I think you nailed it. Georgia, there's very little chance that they're top five passing. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be happy not being top five passing. I don't think that's what Kirby wants to do.
No. Did you see that golf swing the other day? He's wound up, man. He's still thinking about that last year.
He's thinking about Carson as he swings it, you know?
Yeah, change his fight like Happy Gilmore. Just
all right. So the bottom five passers in the SEC last year, Shane.
Yeah,
Tennessee. Not used to seeing that down there. A&M, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and dead last Oklahoma. So which of those five are we most confident will finish better than dead last? Tennessee, A&M, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Oklahoma, who's moving up?
I think it's got to be your Oklahoma Sooners.
Oh,
I know you had that one teed up. You couldn't wait to go for it. But I, you know, again, not to plug that awesome interview I had the other day, check it out. But I felt like Oklahoma is a team that is going to look night and day different, especially on that offensive front. John Terry, he's going to air it out. Now, there may be some costly picks, but there may be some 300-yard games. So I feel like Oklahoma embarrassed it was disgusting to watch some of that offense production last year. I feel like we take a huge step forward this season, and I'm actually looking forward to it. Not to mention, you just got one of the best running backs in the country. So and to pair them with what you already have. So this could be a extremely fun offense this coming up season.
Yeah, we knew they were in trouble, Shane, when they scored 16 against Houston. You know what?
Dude, can you remember it? I remember watching the Temple game, and there were some moments I'm like, golly, what is taking so long? It's not like they just jumped out to a 51-point lead there. And then Houston, they followed it up. I was like, golly, this is going to be a long season. We were ready. I think we had an emergency podcast after that one.
Yeah. So that is the answer, Oklahoma, but I am intrigued, Shane, by old Texas.
Yeah.
A&M. How about that, buddy? With Marcel Reed back, with all the offensive linemen back and all the running backs essentially back, but the receiving corps is new. So a little less confidence, but year two, Colin Klein, if they can get that system going, if Marcel Reed can prove the doubters wrong, I think A&M will move up this list, but I still think their bread and butter is going to be running the football. So not extremely confident, but I just think they'll be better all the way on the offensive side of the football. Just with, you know, year two, there's always a jump. If you got good players and you got a good coaching staff, and I believe they got both of those in College Station right now.
A lot of people are asking, and I mean, I'm in the camp. I think Tennessee has improvement with the passing game. I mean, because it was so god awful last year, and you don't have Dylan Sampson. So you would think somebody's going to get some more touches here. You know, say what you want, Aguilar, may not be the best quarterback in the country, but he's not afraid to throw the football. So do you think that there's a chance that we look back at Tennessee's back in the mix of having the most explosive offense in the passing game?
I mean, Josh Heupel's track record is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's many years, first-year quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, again, shout out our buddy Chris Marler. He put out the stat. This was during all the Nico drama, but all the quarterbacks that Heupel's worked with the first year, Nico was far and away the worst, just statistically. Yeah. You know, not overall talent or anything like that. But, you know, maybe you do ask, though, have they caught up to Heupel? Could that be an issue? Because Joe Milton, even though he was better statistically than old Nico, you know, how many times you watch that guy, Shane? You say, God, get Nico in there. You know what I mean? Like, this is 2 years in a row, two quarterbacks. So what's the common denominator? Josh Heupel.
Yeah, you know, I didn't like any of the last two quarterbacks, so I'm blaming them. All right, just kidding. I did like... I should clarify, Joe Milton's a great guy, and he's always going to be a huge ambassador to Tennessee. But as far as quarterback play, to go from Hendon Hooker to Joe Milton was a tough one for me, especially because I got so excited about how far he could throw the football. I thought we would see more of that. And here the last two seasons, we've not been able to see some of these large plays that we got accustomed to the year prior.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about top five rushing attacks last year in the SEC, Shane? Tennessee, number one.
Yep.
A&M, number two. Arkansas, number three. South Carolina, four. And Ole Miss, five. So which of those is least likely to be in the top five rushing offense next year? Again, Tennessee, A&M, Arkansas, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Who's not going to be at the top in 2025?
It's good. That's a tough one, man, because these teams love to run. We just talked about Tennessee having offense, but Josh Heupel likes to run. That's the offense. And Arkansas, South Carolina, Texas A&M, definitely. That's their bread and butter. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with the one that doesn't have Rocket Sanders anymore and give me South Carolina. I do think the opportunity will be there, but I don't know, man. Another year with Sellers, I feel like this is a year to kind of – I probably should clarify, because this is quarterback rushing too. And right. What's the other one?
I think this is the one we're going to go with, Shane.
Arkansas. I'm going to go.
Now, again, I don't think Arkansas is going to be off, because here's the deal. I love Talon Green. We both do.
Yes.
Or Talon, as some people call him. And I just think that, you know, they're going to lean a little bit more into passing.
Yeah.
Because you lean into your best player. Now, he can dominate on the ground as well. Mm-hmm. But considering his build, you don't necessarily want him taking 100 carries rushing the football either. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So I'm kind of playing a little game here. I just think that Arkansas will lean a little bit more to the pass, even though they do have an entirely new receiving core. So it's going to be pick your poison. But I'm going to put the ball in the hands of my best player week in and week out. And they lose Jackson to the NFL, their running back. So give me Arkansas, I think, falls out of the top five.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see a lot of Ole Miss. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, they do lose the offensive line, but, you know, I could argue they didn't really have a running back last year. They kind of a hodgepodge. Hell, they had defensive linemen out there doing most of the running. So I still think part of Lane Kiffin is he is – I think this quarterback room especially is going to be more mobile and would expect more yards than Jackson put on last season. And I would venture to say Ole Miss has more rushing yards by the end of the year.
Ooh, okay. You know who I think it would also have more yards, Shane?
Who's that?
Jared Jones, who just became a member of the channel. Shout out, Jared. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And thank you for your service, my man.
Yeah, Jared, appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely.
What does it say there? It's Marine Corps veteran.
Hoorah, as they say.
Thank you for your service, brother.
That's what my brother said. He was the Air Force. He's EOD. says he's always cleaning up after them Marines, you know? So,
hey, we got another one, Shane. Zio underscore V. I don't know how to pronounce it out. Yeah, Zio.
Welcome to the family.
Longhorns going.
God, look, they just got so much money, you know?
Welcome to the family.
$40 million, they're all members of that SEC podcast. You just can't hide money, Mike.
Nope. All right, now how about rushing for, who's at the bottom, though, Shane?
Yeah.
Kentucky? Mm-hmm. Vandy? Mississippi State? Georgia? That blew my mind when I saw that Georgia was 15th in the SEC last year in rushing the football, or LSU, which was not much better. Those were the bottom teams. So Kentucky, Vandy, Mississippi State, Georgia, LSU. Who are we most confident jumps out of the dregs of the SEC?
Brother, I want to say LSU, believe it or not, but I think you're right. Georgia, that's embarrassing. That's not Kirby Smart, man. That's not Mike Bobo. This is a team that's got to get back to running the football, and I feel like that is going to be the staple down there in Athens. So give me Georgia here. But LSU, my second.
I think you're wrong, Shane.
What? You're crazy.
Give me Mississippi State.
Ugh.
This year with Jeff Levy, but we're going to get back to the ground and pound. And everyone gets enamored with these, you know, Josh Heupel, Lane Kiffin, you know, their quarterbacks, passing. What does Ole Miss and Tennessee do better than anything, Shane?
What's that?
Run the football. It's like, it's their secret weapon. They spread you out and you have to cover those guys. So it leaves running lanes open. Mississippi State got better as the season got on, running the football. So I think Mississippi State's going to put up some really impressive offensive numbers. I'm not saying they're going to dominate, you know, and go 10-2 or something crazy, but I think they're going to be a lot more effective on the offensive side of the football. And they were pretty good last year. So
yeah,
give me Mississippi State. I'm most confident about Georgia. Easy one. LSU. I could see even Vanderbilt, you know, with Diego Pavia, but give me Mississippi State, Shane. That's what I'm most confident as a not a top five worst rushing attack next year.
What about, I mean, we give Kentucky a hard time, but the fans are awesome. Stoops going back to his old ways. Kentucky will run the ball. I honestly could buy into that, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, he comes out here and he's going back to that, what do you call it? Blue collar mentality. And you do that by running the damn football. And I think they got a little too far away from center and what they've been good at. So I'm not saying they got him another Benny Snell up there, but it would be nice to look up and see that we've got a running back with 20, 30 opportunities each game.
Yeah.
You got to shorten it. You got to shorten this game.
Well, that sounds great, Shane. But then you look at the schedule and say, okay, here's who they're going to play consecutive games, not consecutive weeks, because there is a bye there. But South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida. Mm-hmm. Who are you running on amongst those? I don't think you're running on any of them.
Well, yeah, I'm just, here I am. I mean, they and one positive thing all year long, and then old Posse sends this. He's like, you know what? I muscled up enough courage. I'm going to put this out there. And Mike says, you know what? Get back in your space. No, I think Posse's on to something here, and I think – I'm not saying Kentucky wins 7-8 games. I feel like a bowl game is on the table, but mm-hmm. only if we get back to Kentucky football. And that all really starts with that big O line, you know, do that. Then all of a sudden those running lanes open up. So I'm not giving up completely on them, but yeah, sorry, Posse, you had to deal with Cousin Mike.
Hey, Zio, he gifted a membership. I'm not seeing.
Thank you, cuz.
I'm not seeing to who, though.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're in the family. They know who they are. Welcome to the family. The family.
And also, Shane, Cousin Jared, he also gifted one.
Man, hell yeah.
People are in a given mood. This, I can see this one. Sage Terrell. Sage,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy, Cousin Jared. We appreciate you, brother.
Posse says, he goes, no, I'm good. I know we're going to be doing it again.
All right. How about for let's see. How about rushing defense? Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. I skipped over passing. Passing defense. These were the top five last year, Shane, in passing defense. Texas, Missouri, Bama, Kentucky, Tennessee. Who are we least confident remains as an elite passing defense?
Say it one more time.
Texas?
Yeah.
Mizzou, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee. Who's not going to be a top five passing defense next year?
M-I-Z. I know.
Z-O who?
They're my boys. But I feel like we're going to get into some more shootout style games here.
Yeah.
Not saying one thing I love about it is the schedule, but no, I think we take a little bit hit on the defensive side here. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with them.
Oh, okay. Well, I hate to kick them while they're down, Shane. It's Kentucky. Come on. It's going to be Kentucky. You just
had a posse off the top rope.
Just had a corner taken in the first round of the NFL draft. I realized he was injured and he missed a lot of time, but that's a blow. And I can't imagine unless everybody and their mother's running on Kentucky, maybe that's how you have a top five pass defense because no one's throwing the ball on you, but yeah. I don't see it.
Well, yeah. And yeah, no, I'm right there with you. So I this was defensive. I thought this was defensive front. So this is defensive backs.
Yeah, like limiting the pass.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I could still stick with Mizzou. I like some kids back there. Yeah, I'm still probably going to leave that one there. Yeah.
Nope. Okay. So then we'll do the reverse. The worst passing defenses, right?
Yeah.
Ole Miss, A&M, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Which of those will not be terrible defending the pass next season? Ole Miss, A&M, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas. There's an obvious one here, Shane. We'll see if it's not super obvious, but I think they are destined to improve. I want to see if you agree.
We'll say Ole Miss. I'm going to say Ole Miss. Am I right?
No.
Damn. I just figured.
A&M, come on. Now, they blew it up. They were adding all these guys. But remember, do you remember this, Shane? After the Southern Cal Bowl loss, damn, Mike Elko, you know, it's rare you see him pissed off. He was pissed off. He said, something's got to change. This is garbage. That's my words, not his. But he's like, we'll get it fixed. They're going crazy in the portal. I think Mike Elko's a man on a mission to where A&M's is just not completely a huge liability in a pass defense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. And this is a tough one to predict because because sometimes the secondary being bad or quote unquote bad is because the offense is up, you know what I'm saying? The other team's throwing their ass off. So I kind of want, that's kind of why I went the Ole Miss route. I just feel like there's not going to be as many blowouts. I think there's going to be closer games and, you know, Lane likes to run. He likes to chew that clock up. So that's why I kind of went with them.
But if you just ask me, Shane, if there's a coach out there that is dead set on getting his side of the ball fixed, I got confidence in Mike Elko to tweak it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Tony says Stoops don't know if they're throwing or running. Oh, snap. All right, final one here, Shane. Rushing defense.
Yes.
These were the best of the best stopping the run last year in the SEC. Ole Miss, far and away the best. They only allowed 80 yards per game last year. Tennessee, number two. Texas, three. South Carolina, four. Oklahoma, five. So which of those do we have the least confidence will remain elite defending the run? Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas, South Carolina, Oklahoma.
I think you could pick them all on this one, but I'm going to go South Carolina. I feel like just too much is gone. And not saying they're going to be good. They're still going to be great. But top five, I don't know. I don't know if that happens again.
Mm. I wish I had the loaded up Shane. I'm an idiot. Sorry, Gamecocks. But you nailed that one, Shane. Absolutely right. I mean, you just can't replace all these draft picks. Now, they may have the best damn defensive end in the entire country, but he's going to be getting after the passer. You know, he can stop the run, too, but he can't do it all by himself. So South Carolina, I think, is the answer. Now, how about the reverse? These five were the worst at stopping the run in the conference last year, Shane. LSU, Vanderbilt, Florida, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. Who are we most confident improves? LSU, Vandy, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi State.
Starting to feel like an LSU show because I'm going with them Tigers. Now they stole all them Florida boys, you know.
Well, speaking of Florida, Shay, that's where I'm throwing my money in there. Give me them Gators. But I do like LSU here, too. So, again, I'm splitting hairs. I think I did this before and I split and I went with LSU. I'm splitting them again. This time I'm going with them Florida Gators that got better in the second half on the defensive side of the football. I think they carry that over to this season.
Yeah, I know you like them Gators. I'd like Kentucky. They're my Kentucky, right? Your Kentucky is my Florida Gators.
Well, buddy, hey, that's all I got. You got anything else before we hop off here?
No, man, it was awesome checking in, and appreciate everybody hanging out. Thank you for all the cousins that are now in the family, and I appreciate all the donations. It really does mean a lot. It helps me on the golf course. So, no, I'm just kidding. Well, people think I'm staying before it's going, but no, seriously, I appreciate everybody hanging out, and have those notifications on, because you never know what Mike's going to throw out. He's got about 15 interviews in his back pocket he's going to throw out there. So just always have your YouTube sets on. And everybody did the thumbs up. Really appreciate that. That does help us out. And I saw a lot more people spread the word when the show notes came out. That also helps as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. So we appreciate all your support, especially during the off season. I mean, you are a real SEC fan if you're here watching a show like this in late April. But we do appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.